Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of breath. We are not G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, the very first of 2025. Happy New Year to everyone out there. I hope you're doing well. And if you want to wish us well, you probably don't give a shit, then you can. Will Alford, Will the Bot Alford, how are you doing, mate?
Well, to be honest, I'm pretty good. Like, I've just come home from work. I went down to the bar, had a winner today. So the punters are going to get the best of me tonight.
Wow. this man's been on an absolute heater.
Yeah.
No, we're not just saying that. We do have a group chat, and he has been tipping up an absolute storm. It is a bit of a shame that the podcast hasn't been on for the last 4 weeks, because I think your ROI would be through the absolute roof at the moment.
I think the last sort of week and a half, 2 weeks, has been the best sort of 2 weeks I've had betting in my life. So it's not good for the punters, but hopefully we can continue that into next week. Well, oh my god, it's been a good couple of weeks.
Wow.
But I have missed doing towards the end of the spring. I was like, oh, I can't be bothered doing a podcast on a Thursday. But yeah. I'm back. I've missed doing a podcast on a Thursday, and I'm.
He's up and about.
I'm up and about. I'm excited to talk about racing, because that's what I love. I love racing, and I love talking about racing and betting, especially when I'm winning.
Lots. And you love Flemington. You've clearly got the giggles. What's the drink of choice that you've been delving into this afternoon?
anything I can get my hands on. I do like. I haven't been paying for it. Our Cooper's been paying for us. and the rest of them, but an IPA or whatever, I don't know. I like a beer, so
that'll get you. The IPAs and the XPAs,
those ones
very quickly.
Yeah, I had a couple of those. So you get the best of me today, punters.
Are you gonna ask how I am and what I've been up to or not?
Oh yes, no, you've been in Japan. Tell me. Oh, I already asked you this, but tell the punters about Japan. Tell us. Do you go to the race in Japan at all?
Well, young Will, I thought you'd never ask. Japan was one of the greatest things I've ever done.
I didn't get that.
It is one of the best countries I've been to, 100%. Like, I haven't been to that many places, but Japan is just next level. Like, everything they do, like, you see it in their horses. Like, everything they do is precise.
Yeah.
It's to the letter, and they just do everything the right way, and that translates to the way they live their lives and how they put on a show for tourists as well. It's just
It's next level. You can do it cheap. You can go to 7-Eleven. You can buy, you know, Coke for like $1.80, where it's like $5 here, like a 600ml bottle. You get like these sandwiches, fresh sandwiches made every single day. They're like $3. Sushi, like one roll is like $1. You can honestly eat there at the convenience stores every day.
And it's healthy too, because that's how they do it.
Yeah. And that's how a lot of the locals actually do live their life. Like they just eat cheap like that. Obviously, if you want to get the, you know, the nice fancy Wagyu meats and like the better ramen, then obviously you're going to be spending more like $20 to $50. But
Ramen.
Yeah, I think I'm on. I'm fully on the train now, bot. I'm fully on.
Yeah. Oh, mate, like there's a ramen joint just near mine. I remember I had a fill up one day. I said I'm going down to ramen to celebrate, and he had a go at me like, go down to Nobu or something. He's like, no, mate, ramen's the shit.
Yeah.
But
a good Lux is good as well. Have you been to Luxa King?
No.
It's like a. It's more. Oh, where is? I think it's more like a Malaysian short sort of.
No, it's not Japanese, mate, is it?
It's not Japanese, but it's also.
Yeah, but like when I went to Japan, like with my family, like it's just like a, like you don't like the public toilets, like they're all so clean, like in Australia, like it's fucking shit everywhere.
Yeah, we've really, like, as good as Australia is, there are many parts of society where we've just completely let ourselves down. Respect is one of them. Like,
you will not find a dirty public toilet in Japan. Like, it's just pristine.
It's crazy. And the streets are so clean, despite the fact that there's no rubbish bins there. Like, you walk down the street, you won't be able to find a rubbish bin. So you just have to hold on to it and wait till you get home, or you'll get lucky and find one somewhere. But they all just respect the rules. Their technology is obviously next level. There's like bright lights on every single corner. It looks amazing. And then they've got like the theme parks, of course, as well. If you Universal Studios, your Disneylands, your Harry Potter worlds, and then obviously they've also got the best snow in the world.
The thing that messed with my head the most was the machines. You know the machines that you can, like, you choose a number and like the things come out. What are they called? Like there's like, you know, like your Pepsi and everything. Yeah, vending machine. That's what I'm looking for. Vending machines. There's like one on like every 50 meters. If that was in Australia, they'd all be shattered. Like, someone would break into them and get them. There's one, like, every 50 meters in Japan.
Well, like, one of my favorite things about Japan, because that's crazy. Another way. And, like, they'll have, like, a whole row, and sometimes there's, like, 8 of them in a row, and they're, like, all selling different things. And, like, the drinks in there, as I said, like, you can get a water for, like, what is, like, 90 cents, a dollar, whereas, like, a bottle of water in Australia is, like, four times the price here. It's crazy, but... If you haven't been to Japan, you need to go. If you're into like snowboarding or skiing as well, then you definitely need to get up on the mountain as well, because that is the softest snow I've ever been on. And like when you fall from your board, it doesn't hurt at all. A couple times I've been to like Mount Hotham and it's icy and it's like shit. And when you do have a stack, you really feel it because of how hard it is. So yeah, no,
I don't think I've ever been to this
highly enough of it.
Did you go to the races in Japan?
No, I didn't.
Why would you go to Japan and go to the races? That's the whole point of going to Japan.
No, I'll be back for sure. And the Arima Kingdom was a couple of days before Christmas, and that was the only major meeting over there. And it would have been awesome to go to that. But I went past Kyoto Racecourse, and it looked awesome. You go past it on the freeway, and probably should have put my head in there, but the people I was with aren't really into racing, so.
Well, tell them toughen up. Go to the races.
All right, enough chat about that. Let's get back to what we all love doing, and that is indeed racing. Botta, it has been one of the most anticipated returns this podcast. So much so that they've delayed the Magic Millions a week.
For us.
Just for us. Just so we can speak about it. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, it's perfect timing, really.
Firstly,
full credit to them.
The track went amiss at the Gold Coast, and then they tried to run the meeting, and it absolutely got washed out. So hopefully tomorrow night they've got a bit more luck.
What's the track like? Did you know what's the situation? Is it still wet, or?
I think it's a soft track. Like, there's definitely moisture in it, but
it's not getting washed out though.
Nah, like they should get through tomorrow night's meeting. Sweet. I would hope. Like, it's always a tough one because if it rains during the meeting and then horses are starting to dig into it like they did last time, things happen. But that was torrential rain, which actually called it off. So it'll be interesting. I think those, the two main races there are extremely difficult. So we're probably going to focus our attention at Flemington because that's where Bot does his best work and we know he's absolutely flying this week.
I can't wait for variants just to do certain things to me.
Please. There's no excuses here.
Are we going to do...
As far as the punters know, you haven't tipped any horse in the last month.
Yeah. I've had a break, apparently. I've had a break from betting. It doesn't stop. Yeah. It doesn't stop punters. Doesn't never stop stops.
All right, so let's talk about the track. Rails out.
Are we doing questions or no?
Oh, you did want to do this, didn't you?
Yeah, we do questions first.
Bot has had a couple of beers after a winner and he's gone, let's change things up. Let's do questions first.
Yeah, because like when we do the end of the, like we get to the end of the podcast, I want to go to bed. Like, yeah. I don't want to answer questions, but we'll do it first.
All right. Well, before the IPA start to wear off, we'll do the questions. Yeah.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I'm going to laugh at all the people who skip straight to the end to go to the questions.
Yeah. And be which is every single one of them.
Yeah. Anyone who asks a question goes straight to the end. I'm convinced. Yeah. They all tell
all
me.
15 of our listeners.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the questions first then. Twitter. Don says, I'm sure you'll probably be able to talk to this at the start of the pod. He probably thought Nico was going to be on, but he's not. But Jumps Racing.
Why would you think Nico was going to be on the podcast?
I don't know. He's a once a year guest now. But Jumps Racing, surely on its last legs, isn't it? What do you reckon about that, Botter? We've just seen that the prize money has been slashed.
I didn't say that, but that's news to me, but that sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Like it's
you work at a newsroom.
Yeah, but I pay attention to it, but I don't. I do. It's always been on the way out. Like I mean, it's always gonna. I don't know. Like it was on its last. It's been on its last legs for the last 10 years, I think. But
I'm giving it 2 years max.
Yeah, it sort of had its resurgence the last couple of years. Warrnambool took off again, but especially that last meeting at Ballarat, that was just ugly, really, really ugly stuff. And you know, I love the spectacle of Jumps Racing, but I don't want to feel anxious while I'm watching a horse race. And like being down at Warrnambool, I feel anxious watching the horses over the jumps. And it's just, you know, it's exciting stuff, but it's, you know, it's still horse racing, and if we have 3 to 4 casualties in a day or even a race, and it's not, you know, it's not the product we want to promote in horse racing. We have a great product. Horse racing in Australia is great, and if we have that, you know, it's almost like that sort of run of casualties in the Melbourne Cup we have. We don't want to promote that. That's not what we want in our jurisdiction. And you know, Victoria is the only place in Australia that does it anymore. I think everywhere else is sort of canned it, and you know, for good reason, not necessarily good reason, but you know, it makes sense why it's on the way out. But you know, I do like the spectacle, but it is what it is. It's uncomfortable. It's, you know, in the way things are moving, you just want to keep things as straight as possible, and it's not necessarily straight, I guess, is the best way of putting it. So you know, when you can have horrible days like what Ballarat was last year, it was the Australia whatever race that was, where Stern Idol started like $1.30 and there were awful casualties. You don't want to say that. Like, we love horse racing, we love horses, and we don't want casualties in horse racing. It's a product we love, and it's awful to see. And
That's a fair answer. We're not going to have any rebuttal on the podcast tonight because Nico isn't here. But once Nico's back on, I'm sure we'll be able to have a two-sided.
He'll get like 15 minutes into it.
Yeah. Well, how many beers have you had today, roughly?
Beers have I had?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Well, Nico's probably had 3 times as many, is the point I was going to make. He's currently on the river.
Is he?
He's probably in the river. He's probably upside down in a floaty toy.
That's a picture
I've got in my head at the moment. So.
Yeah, no, I have the exact same picture. He's probably upside down, yeah.
He's probably floating down the Murray. All right. Ryan Deeth has wasted both of his questions on Nico. He should have known that he wasn't going to be here, so he's going to be shattered. Boone Bunting, what does Bot get up to over the summer break? Watch the cricket, travel, let the people into the life of the robot with the little robot emoji.
Right. The life of the bot. I went up to Sydney for New Year's. That was fun.
Saw the
had
boys.
A nice time in Sydney. Yeah, saw the boys in Sydney.
Lots of Guinness.
Yeah, a few of those. Very dusty on New Year's Day. It was meant to be betting, but I didn't do much betting because I wasn't in the right headspace to be betting. But what else did I do? Lots of betting.
Did you have any time off?
No. Well, I've been betting. Like, I haven't really stopped. But
yeah.
I worked as well. I had maybe like a couple days off just to refresh. But you know, I do have a life outside of horse racing, I promise.
No, it doesn't.
Not really. No, it is what I live and breathe, but I do like to do other things sometimes.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. While everyone else's form sort of goes down, yours goes up to another level, which is, it's odd, but that's where you win your most money, where everyone else is sleeping, I feel.
No, I don't know about that, but I just like doing it, so that's what I do.
Yep. Ryan Reynolds. Don't tell me he actually listens
to my boss. Podcast. No, surely not. I hope not. I'll get in trouble if he does.
Well, he's asked a question, so I think he's going to be tuning into this one. So.
Oh, that's not good.
Ryan says, did Bot back the $200 winner at Geelong yesterday?
Oh, Geelong was great yesterday. I had a great day at Geelong. Did you bet any of the ones I did yesterday?
Was this the one where you got the $1.20 horse beaten, or was that the other day?
No, that was $1.06 actually, mate.
Yeah, I had something on that.
That was Tuesday. That was the Jody Thompson rot. Oh, that was good. No, I had four bets yesterday. Three of them won.
How good was that?
Oh, it was a good day yesterday.
But you didn't get the 200-to-1 shot. No, so I'm not that. That was a question. So
it jumped 350-to-1 on Bet365. I didn't have anything on that. I was going to back the Liam Howley horse, but they scratched. I think it would have won if they ran, but I can't remember what it's called. But the Liam Howley horse that ran that was scratched from Wednesday, wherever that goes next, if it's like, I can't say back it blindly, but like if I put a good jockey on it next time, like, or any sort, it was like one, like with all due respect to whoever, I think it was the stable apprentice. Not a good ride.
Bad ride.
Yeah, well, it was one of the worst I've ever
seen. Bot's Black Bookers, a new segment, straight off the top. Chris DeCasta, he always asks a good question. He says, which international race are you lads looking forward to most in the autumn? And Will, I think we share the same one.
Oh, yes. Well, I want to go to Hong Kong to watch Mr. Brightside to run in. I don't even know what race it's called, but Mr. Brightside's most likely going to go to Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's Champions Day. So
yeah.
It's the FWD Champions Mile, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Hong Kong to watch that.
Yeah.
And I can get on big screen again and do a massive fist pump. Get my big head on TV again.
Hong Kong's awesome. As I said, the only bad thing about going to the Hong Kong races is getting the Cantonese race caller. So it doesn't quite capture the same sort of, you know, feel as the English.
No, I don't like the English version.
How do you not like Mark McNamara?
Mate, he's that horse that like is named after a like a boombox or something. He's like he's like some beatboxing. Oh, mate, like no, it's awful. It's awful. It's difficult to listen to. It's like when Matt Hills like went on like Equine Utopia. Like it's not good race calling.
I agree with that. That
makes me cringe.
Some of it they do try a little bit too hard, and as a race caller, like you probably don't want to try too hard because it comes across a bit cringy. But
yeah,
I like Mark. Tom Wood's also pretty good as well. He actually gets involved in some of our commentary on Twitter. So
does he?
There you go. He does. He calls Wednesday at Happy Valley, and Mark calls the Sunday at Sha Tin.
Oh, like, do they Kvitcha, deep it? Is it like not the same guy all the time?
Nah, I don't think Mark calls Happy Valley that often. He usually just calls Shartin Sunday.
Oh.
Kvitcha Kavara, is Kaying Rising and Voyage Bubble the best for the weekend? Spoiler, no. I think it's one of my best bets, so it won't be one of Watt's best bets, but yeah, better than even money that double. I'm happy to take it. Ryan Patton is
10
the
units.
Bull. Yeah, maybe 20. Ryan Patton is the Bull Carnival on the agenda for the crew this year.
Of course it is.
Bot's going to be at the front, apparently, and he's going to have a stick in his hand with a poster on it saying Ban Jumps Racing.
No. I'm just going to be, mate, if you can win at the Warrnambool Carnival, you are a dead set genius. That place is like you may as well just donate your cash. Like, that place is impossible to win at. Especially it's like last. The track last year was one of the, I dead set did not bet the third or fourth day. I don't even know how many days are out. The last day I did not bet because it was like stripped out.
This
place is impossible to win at.
What I will say is it's easier to win on the jumps races than it is on the flat at Warrnambool, because there's usually less horses and there's less chances and slightly less variables because they're always running on heavy tracks anyway. But in the flat races, the track bias comes into it a lot more and it's bloody impossible.
I feel like you just got to win on the first day and then just give up the rest of the days.
Or even you've got to do what I did, like losing the whole carnival and then just land like
a massive quaddie
right on the end on the last day. And that's the only way I got out of there alive.
No, I'm going to bet like a quarter of my bankroll and just try. Like, it's inevitable. I'm going to bet regardless, but like, hopefully. The plan is this year is I'm going to back Jordan Weatherly and Tom Dabernick the entire carnival, just back and blind, because that is a cheat code. Jordan Weatherly is the best apprentice in Victoria at the moment. She's unbelievable. Great rider.
I haven't really been paying attention, so that shows.
She's unbelievably good.
What I've been up to the last month. Roxas FC says, are the boys shattered that Pingers hasn't currently got any races lined up? The famous Pingers spot. I feel like Pingers should be left in 2024. Maybe long before that.
I don't know.
I think when Cloud 9 closed down, I think that's where Pingers should have had its...
long before my time, mate. I don't know what Cloud 9 down. Is.
How do you not know what Cloud 9 is?
Mate, I'm 5 or 6 years younger than you, mate. I don't know.
Wow.
I was 12 when you were 18.
I can't even explain what Cloud was or compare
it's like
it to
Revs,
any other
just
club.
Thought it's disgusting.
Nah, it's more like it was more like Levels on steroids. Do you remember Levels? Like the type of
Yeah, I know Levels. Yeah. Or like billboards and stuff. Like that sort of.
Yeah. Sort of. Revs is like a different crowd and a different type of music altogether.
Yeah. Billboards are just 16-year-olds and the luck.
Yeah. Cloud was actually a good venue, but.
Did you ever get down to Lucky Thursdays, Ben?
Mate, I used to love Lucky Thursdays back in the day.
Of course you did.
Lucky Thursdays is where we had our graduation on a Thursday.
Oh, no. No,
and we were just drinking free beer all night, and then we went straight to Lucky. They had $2 beers or $2 something.
Oh, that's $2 beers. That shows how old you are, mate. Like that just doesn't happen anymore. It's like $10 now,
mate. That was like prime orchestrated and prime JDG.
I don't know what JDG is, but
oh fuck no, Jordan Griffiths DJ back in the day. Anyway, a couple more questions. Ryan Deeth, he's asked this one from his personal account, not from his GG's Gemstone.
Personal?
Account. Yeah, because this one's on Instagram. Ryan, Ben, how did the missus cope with you away for 3 weeks? I'm not actually sure, but she did go to Magic Millions. So she went to the Gold Coast for the first time, and she got me a few lovely hats. And if you can read this one, Botta.
Pierrata. Good stallion.
He's a good horse and a good stallion, and he won the 3-year-old guineas and the Magic Millions. He also won.
Did. Beat 11-11, didn't he?
Yeah. Did he win an all-age stakes as well, I think?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He knocked off Santa Ana Lane in that one.
And he probably should have won another one, and I think he got
TJ.
Knocked off by. Oh. He got beaten by Tofane. I think that was an all-aged as well.
Oh, yeah. He was going for back-to-back wins in the all-age, and Tofane knocked him off.
Yeah, and that was a bit sick.
And then she won back-to-back, I think.
Yeah, because I loaded I loaded him at about 550 in that race. So,
I don't think I was able to bet when Pierre Arda was racing. So,
yeah, good memories and bad memories. Cooper Irwin has two thoughts on the start of Saturday night racing.
I mean, like, it's fine. Like, you have another couple of bets. I'm sure I'll have a couple of bets at Cranbourne on Saturday night. As long as I don't have to work it.
We've had Saturday night racing for as long as I can remember. It's called Perth.
It's called Toowoomba, mate. It's called Toowoomba.
Exactly right.
Depends exactly how much of a hole you're in. Get Tyson to whip out his Toowoomba set. And
you know, a mate of mine I work with has a theory about Toowoomba that the first favourite always wins.
You've first told favorite me always this before.
Every time I'm with him and we're watching race one Toowoomba, back to the favourite.
Is that Droid?
That is Droid.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Cameraman / video producer at the Valley.
Yeah, he's a genius with the camera, just not at Toowoomba.
You'd be surprised. This theory is bulletproof. Coops, but what do you attribute your recent run of form to?
I don't know. I'm just lucky sometimes. Sometimes I feel like you get these runs and you get bad runs, but I've had a good run recently.
You know what the famous Gary player with confidence. Said?
Who?
The famous Gary player, golfer.
What's that?
He's a golfer, and his favorite saying was, "The more I practice, the luckier I get."
Yeah, well, I've been betting a lot, so.
So that's the answer. You just got to keep going.
Yeah. Well,
FP.
I'm probably going to have a KFP. I'm probably going to have a strip out on Saturday, but that's not the point. We're going to back all of the winners at Flemington. It's a great meeting at Flemington. So Ben's just putting his headphones back on. He's taking his jumper off.
I've had
to improvise. I've had to improvise for a second, but we're back. We're going to jump into Flemington now, I reckon.
One more question. Tyson Hunter. Boys, will you be coming to Hong Kong to cheer the big boy home? You've already answered that. You're going to Hong Kong.
Yeah, I'm going.
I've just got to see how it lines up with my football season. But if I'm able to go, then absolutely I'd love to.
I'm going to Dubai as well. Mornington Glory going over to Dubai.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon I am.
What, you think Gab's going to invite you?
No, I'm going to invite myself.
Oh, right.
No, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I could go.
Get on in it. An Emirates plane right up the front.
First class, mate.
You beauty.
Who do you think I am?
All right. Can we finally get to the betting now?
Yeah, the people have already skipped to this part, but
tell us what the track is doing, because the rail's out 9 meters. That's a little bit tricky.
No, it's fine. It's frozen.
Warm weather again on Saturday. It's going to be nearing sort of 30 degrees.
Yeah, it's fine. Flemington's going to play like Flemington. They're straight races. It won't be as outside as it can be, you know. Sometimes it can be outsider, but you know that rail at night, it evens out a bit. I don't know. I'm not worried about the track. I'm just going to bet.
All right, sweet. Yep. Got a bit of a tricky start. Race 1, 12:15. It is a 1600-meter benchmark 100. Marble Arch is 340. From Wings of Song, 370. Molly Nick is 380. Munamek, $5. Positivity, $6. And Spaycaster, $23. A small field of six. I'm predicting they're going to go at a very slow tempo here, Bot. I'm not sure what your thoughts are, unless something can sort of take up the lead and take off. But who do you think it suits best?
Yeah, it's a Betfair race, this one. This is a race where I think they might back Marble Arch, and I think positivity. I think they'll gap, and I think I want to be on it because I think it'll go forward. And I think it might run the number it did first up last preparation. I think it was the Heatherly. You know, it gets out to $11, $12 Betfair. That's the one I want to be on. And also Molly Knickers, if they sort of $4.50, that's the price that I want to be on it at. You know, $4.50, $4.70 to $5. That's the price I want to be on it at. So I don't want to be on Wings of Song. I thought, you know, it's 56 days between runs. It won really well at first up, but you know, I want to be on the first two in run. And I think the first two in run. I think positivity will lead, and I think Molly Knickers will sit outside it. And those are the two I want to be on. Just Betfair depending. This is a Betfair race. This isn't a betting early race. So no help to the early podcast. But, you know, if the market eventuates like the way I sort of think it can, positivity gets out to $12, you back it. If Molly Knickers gets out to $4.50 to $5, you back it.
Yep, sweet. I'm probably not too keen. I would have Marble Arch on top just because I think she's got the best turn of foot in the race if this turns into a very slowly run race. But I probably prefer 1,400 metres with her. Yeah, she loomed up last start and looked like she was just going to win, and then Regal Vow got the split and was too good. So I don't know. Mm. Is the end of a mile some small question mark with Marble Arch?
Yeah.
Not sure. Race two is a two-year-old event. It's over 1,000 metres. Cavalry Girl was pretty good. She drops back to 1,000 metres here. I know you're probably not going to have any bets here, Bot, but I actually thought Cavalry Girl was probably hard to beat.
Yeah, she's a – Tom Dabernick is – like, if you're not following Tom Dabernick, and if you're betting Victoria, you're not following Tom Dabernick, then what are you doing? He's an unbelievably good trainer. He's airborne. He's smashing the market. And he had about 6 months where he was sort of off, but I think he had like a sort of a virus going through the stable. And outside of that 6 months, he's just been, you just want to be on him. Since he started training, that 6 months, you didn't want to be on him. And then after that, it's just, you just want to back Tom Dabernick. Anyway, I don't really want to bet in this race at all, but I thought, I have had a little bit of a watch on this Ethereum Girl that first trial to Maurice. You know, this is a watch for the 1,000 guineas next year. That you watch that first trial, like she's a talented horse. I watched that trial by accident. I just thought, who is that thing? Who is that Lindsay Park thing that is just going straight past all these horses? So she might have a lot of talent, but you know, this won't be a betting race for me. This is just sort of you know, watch and see how the straight's playing. I don't really care how the straight's playing. Just watch it. Hopefully one of them goes really well so I can back them in the Blue Diamond or the Blue Diamond Prelude. So not very much interested in this race.
Yep. I don't think Cavalry Girl will be a Blue Diamond horse. She looks a little bit more squibby and speedy, but I think I will be backing her here. $4.20. Happy with that price. Draws the outside rail. Slightly missed the start on debut and hunted up to lead. Was beaten by a good one in Cherish Me for Kira Ma. And I think the step back to 1,000 metres, as I mentioned, is a positive. So
that is a good one, isn't it? That Cherish Me. That's a nice horse.
Yeah, it's put down one of the better two-year-old ratings so far. So one to watch for sure.
Mm.
All right, let's get to race three, which is a 1,600-metre benchmark 70. And I reckon this is one of your better bets of the day. The top weight is Centennial Park, 340. Tomba, 360. Zorro's Fight is $6. Masson and Rose is $6.50. Well, I'm hoping it is because it's one of your only ones I've backed so far.
Yeah, I told people to back it on, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. I do like this bet. But the main reason I like this bet...
Number one, because guys.
Number one, Centennial Park, is because it went really, really quick at the Corfield Heath when we backed it. But the main reason I like it is because Macedon Rose and Zorro's Flight are two horses that I think are significantly underpriced. I think they're way under the odds, especially Macedon Rose. It won, like, it's won the eyes guys will like, and it's also nominated at a Pakenham on Friday, and I hope it runs on Saturday. I think they're edging to going to Friday night, but I do hope that they go to Saturday because I think it's got nuts past you. That race, like, looks good to the eye, but it just no figures whatsoever. I want to be on Centennial Park. I think it's a great bet. Like, even if it comes out, I've already backed it, and I'll probably back it again on Saturday. Yeah, it's simple as that. I'm just going to be on it.
Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, I'm on it as well. Last start rating is very, very good. And if it reproduces that, it'll win. But I love that it gets to Flemington as well. I don't know if he completely actually loved the Caulfield Heath track there.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
So, yeah, getting to Flemington, draws well. And how good is Jamie Mock going?
Oh, he's like one of those ones that, like, he's a second pinner, but he rides a... He's like the best second pinner. Like, he rides so many winners, and if you've got Jamie Mott on your horse, like, you're not second guessing it. Like, you know, he won really well at Geelong at his second start. I love the progression he made from first start to second start, and then third start he was off the map at his third start at Caulfield, and he's 23 days between runs, and I think he will love Flemington. So and it's good to see that, you know, the Caulfield Heath figures, as much as they are, you know, you believe them and you trust the figures, of course, but you still got that little caveat in your mind, like, yeah, you're cautious about the Caulfield Heath figures because, like, you know, the speed figures, like the times and the averages, are all a bit out because, you know, they've only been raking there for like a couple months. So
yeah,
but it's good to see that Sigiriya Rock sort of backed up that figure to an extent anyway. I don't think he quite stayed 2,000 meters last week, and thank God he didn't.
He looked a winner for a long way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, anyway.
Well, a trumpet, another winner, go on. Fuck me. I wasn't sitting there smiling, laughing away, thinking about all the horses you've backed over the last couple
I didn't
weeks.
Say it, you said it.
I can see it on your face.
Yeah, but I wasn't saying it. Yeah, it's good that he backed up that figure to an extent, and I do think that figure's real, and I think he might even go to another level at Flemington over the mile. I think he'll sit 1-1, and I think he might gap him.
Who was the horse that beat Sigiriya Rock again?
The Doctor of Love. Oh.
Doctor of Love.
Oh. After sectional times.
Right, but are we done here?
I think sign deal you could save on. I think it might get out to a nice backable price at Betfair. Might get out to like 12, almost 15-1. Betfair, you just have something small in it. Gets Mark Zara on. It was negative from the gate last start. It went forward at its second start. I think they might push. I think they might at least try and push forward here. And if it does, I think it's a real chance of knocking the favorite off. So I'm going to back Centennial. I have bet Centennial Park. We'll back it again. And if sign deal gets out, I'm going to back it as well.
Yeah, it does look like it's getting looking for 1600 meters for sure.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Race 4 features a few up and comers, and none more so than Samangu, who's won 3 in a row, $2.15 favorite from Mighty, $4, Material Dream, $7.50, Lunar Cat keeps going around at $8.50, and Shame's got some good form down the Flemington straight as well. It's benchmark 78 for the girls. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I just can't get his favorite so short. I mean, like, it's progressive. It's one of those ones where, like, it's a four-year-old mare. It's only lightly raced, but how much improvement do these four-year-old mares have? It's not like a typical horse that's had four starts in its career where it's, you know, it's making an age improvement where it, like, you know, it's developing physically. So it's sort of had the opportunity to run faster. Last start, it was at Ballarat or Pakenham. It was at Pakenham. It had the opportunity to run very, very fast. But Chevelle, Sheik and Kiko were running faster than it late. And then I asked the question, well, why didn't it run faster late? And it had the opportunity to. It's third up. Like, there's no reason why it couldn't have. And I just sort of think maybe it's sort of found its level. Maybe it hasn't, but that's fine. It's $2.10. Like, I don't need to have that firm opinion. The horse I want to be on here is, again, this is a Betfair race. This is not a race I want to be backing any horse early on. Because I do think they're going to keep Samangu pretty short. I think it probably starts like 240, 250 Betfair. Dazzling Lucy is the one I want to be on. Has heaps of figures that have it in this. It sort of that race. It was first up. It was awful, but it was a tick over race. It sort of went fine. It was sort of held up. It did a little bit late, but I think getting over 1100 meters at Flemington, I think it's going to be really suited, and I could see it getting back to somewhere near its best. And it does that, I think you can worry the favorite. You know, it's going to jump like 20s Betfair, and I'm going to have something small. And if it wins, it wins. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So, it's just a small interest race, but I'm definitely going to be betting, I think.
Sweet as. All righty. Are you betting in race 5? Cause this looks pretty tricky.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if this is a Betfair race because it could be a betting early. It just depends if I sort of, I don't know. This race.
When you
is
say a Betfair race, you mean? Yeah. What do you mean?
This is like, explain. This is like it's when I'm betting sort of last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, because you know the market compressed, the market jumps like 101% Betfair. You know, you cop the least sort of tax. So like, when I say that, I mean I don't think I'm going to beat the market early. I think the market looks right enough for where I don't think there's any significant edge early. It's where I can wait till the last sort of 5 minutes and then I can have a bet. Like, you know, when the market might overcorrect itself and you know, then I can, you know, edge that way, I guess. At least a perceived edge, at least. But in this race, I think it's quite top heavy because I think that there's a few of these. What do I think? I think layer upon layer is about the right price, but I think it could get out. I love what it did first up over 1,000 meters. I think it might improve over 1,200 meters here. But the horse I've got it 550. I think it could get out to sevens at some point throughout you know, corporate betting. And if it gets to $7, I'm going to be on it, and that's Enna's Dream. I love that layer upon layer is drawn near it. It's barrier one. The rail's at 9, so it's not going to be any significant advantage to be drawn to the outside. But I think it's been building. It was, you know, it was not Craig Williams' finest. It was a weird race where it sort of screamed home the last 400 meters, and it's been building to this. If it gets back to its figures last preparation, you know, I think it's well within its range, and I think Enna's Dream is gonna be the bet here. I mean, if I don't bet, like, it's, I don't care. Like, I'm betting enough during this card, but if layer upon layer gets it at $6, I'm gonna be on it. But I think Enna's Dream and layer upon layer are the only two horses of interest for me in this race.
Yep. Sweet. Let's move on to race 6. It is a benchmark 84 over 1,200 metres. Major share, not chair, is $3.10. 1-2 in a row. Wiggum is $4. Veloce Caro, $6.50. Bossy Nick, $7.50. And Legio 10, $8 in the mailbag colours for Gav Bedgwood.
They've bought Legio 10. I saw that. It was an astute buy.
It's interesting because he's got a fair degree of talent. Ex-Godolphin, obviously.
Market's got a good opinion of him. He just hasn't done much winning, but I hope that Major Share isn't in the chair because I'm gonna hopefully be on it. I like this race in particular because there's not a whole lot of speed in this race, and my two angles in this race is I think Major Share and Bold Print are gonna get a soft enough time of it in the lead, and I don't think the market's gonna like Bold Print in particular because it's, you know, it's an 1,000 meter horse, and it's only ever time at 1,200 meters. It sort of was poor late, but I think it's going to get a really soft time of it up the straight, and you know, it's run some really, really nice figures over 9.55 at the Valley, and good enough last time behind layer upon layer. If it can regress, but it's still in this race 100%. Like, gets a soft enough time of it that they don't pressure it up in the lead. And you know, $12, I might sort of jump like $14, $15 Betfair. I want to be on it. And I also really want to be on Major Share, who I think has been progressing to a peak run fourth up. I think he's going to run a career peak this preparation. He's a horse that's like he's a really nice horse. He's won 5 of his 7 runs. He failed first up when he was well supported. I think he started at $1.65 there at Warrnambool, and he just failed on the heavy track. And then he sat wide in a hot pace and beat Big Me at Moonee Valley. He was 3 wide the entire way. Like, I'm not a big believer in 3 wide. Like, I don't really care. But, you know, it is a big enough thing being 3 wide around Moonee Valley in a hot pace. And then he went to Rangon really, really soft at $1.30 Betfair. So I think fourth up he's gonna peak. I should have taken 380 early, but I didn't. It's 320 now. I hope it sort of gets out to 360, 370, 380 Betfair, and I'll be on it. I think
you will, because
I do think so.
I think the narrative with a lot of these horses is that they're 1,000 meter horses, and he's one of them who probably still needs to stretch his form to 12. Yeah, you might be completely right, but I still think some part of the market will take a set against him because he hasn't won at 1,200. He hasn't even run at 1,200 yet.
And also the horse that I think the market sort of trended towards, aside from Major Share early, is Wiggum, who goes from Taylor Johnston to Blake Shin on the quick backup, and he won really well at Flemington on, I think it was a stakes day where he beat, who did he beat? A couple of Godolphin horses anyway.
It was either stakes day or cup day.
I'm pretty sure it was stakes day. Anyway, I just sort of, you know, I think he's just he's just fair. I think he's sort of a $6 chance rather than a $4 chance. So once the market sort of compresses, I get a better price, and I want to be on major share and bold print at controlling the race out in front and kicking strongly to hopefully win.
Yep. The horse that he'll beat, that horse that he beat, I'll never forget it, was Barber. Because I backed him pretty strong that day, and it was one of the only times he started real, real short. And yeah, that was the end of me and Barber.
I think there was another good elephant horse that he beat that I backed. There was Barber that was favorite, and I backed the other good elephant horse that was well backed. And then the other good elephant horse went to the wrong side.
Anyway, I'll find it.
Damien Lane wrote it, I think.
Maybe I won't find it. Let's move on. Race 7 is over 1,100 metres. It's a benchmark 74. Have you noticed the benchmarking has changed? This season or last season?
I don't know.
Now we've got 74s, like weird ones. We've got 74s, there's 80s, there's... Mm. It used to just be 70 straight to 78, and there was nothing in between. But anyway, it's interesting. This one's for the girls. La Vie N is the $4 favorite. She was really, really good on her return. That was at her home track, Warrnambool. She's $4 favorite from Manolo Bling's got the big weight, $5. Kirribilli, $6. Princess Q, famous Mooney Valley winner, $7.50. And Spring Air, $10. For some reason, I'll never forget the horses that win at the Valley, because... when they go to town, there's not that many Friday night winners at the Valley that end up Saturday Flemington straight away. So you always remember.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. Princess Q ran second last up, right back to Ubiquity. I will never forget that race, that Ubiquity, and that Jamaloney horse almost fell out. I will never forget it. Ubiquity was like the best bet I've ever had in my life. Jumped $13. It was a complete mile beaten. Did you watch that race?
Yeah, I watched it. It was Johnny Allen on the inside, wasn't it?
Oh, God. No, I think it was Jamie Mott.
Oh, it was Jamie Mott.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault or anything. It was just...
Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
But then it went shit last start as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. The horse I backed missed the start by 5 lengths. But I'm on
Will's
I'm on...
only loser in the last month.
No. La Vienne is the horse I want to be on here. I loved the way that the market smashed it last time at Warrnambool. And that was a good maiden at one. And
I think it was all Jules' money.
Yeah. I think so, because he tweeted after the race saying it was celebrating, whatever. Fair enough to him. I backed Gaffin, I think, in that race, and it went awful. But because it came through that, it ran second to Fickle, ran some nice splits, but that horse is no good. But anyway, La Vienne is they smashed at Warrnambool. It was off 245 days there. Did it so easily. Splits were good. I think it should be clear favorite over Kirribilli. I mean, it's sort of embarrassing the reason I don't love Kirribilli. Like, I don't have it improving off its Quizette run, but I looked at the trials. Like, I'm not a trial man, but, like, the trials are awful. and I hope it doesn't win now because I'm off it because of the trials. Like, I have it running the race it did in the Quizette. Like, I have it running the number it ran in the Quizette, but I don't have it improving off it, and I hope it doesn't because I'm off it because of the trials. It was a really good run, the Quizette, and like nice splits, but yeah. And I'm off Manolo Bling too. Like, that first start run was awful. Like, it was just, ugh, no good. So that just leaves me with La Vienne, and a you know, really nice win at Warrnambool. It was off 245 days there, natural improvement. They laid off it between, you know, it didn't have a jump out or anything. Probably by design, because they wanted to get a price for it so they could back it. That was probably by design by Julian, so he could smash it. Fair enough, I don't blame him. But yeah, I really like La Vienne here. I think she should be, you know, 350, 360. And she's 420, and they bet $5 early. So I think 420 is still backable. Also, actuality for Peter Moody, you could have something small in it.
Yep. What about Miss Cortaleta? I just wanted to say
that. Yeah. No, I don't completely dislike it. Dislike that one. It won really well at Morphettville at the end of last preparation, and the resuming run was okay. Was wide at Moonee Valley in a race you probably didn't want to be. When the pace went on through the six to the two, that was a pretty good resuming run. But you know, it's $12 now. I could see it probably gets out to like 20s Betfair, and you could probably have something small on just to chop it. But it's not a betting early sort of proposition.
Quiz time, halfway through the podcast. Do you know what cotoletta is? Or cortaletta?
Absolutely. No, mate, you're the Italian one here. I've got no idea.
It's basically just the Italian word for like a chicken schnitzel or a veal schnitzel, and it goes
is it?
Amazing in a panini. Yep.
Yeah, right.
So there you go. I'm teaching you something on the job. Race 8 is a 2,000-meter benchmark 100 and probably the horse that will be the most talked-about horse on Saturday at Flemington. I'm pretty happy to say that is Deacon, $2.50 favorite from Shea, $8. Aruga Mama, $8.50. Bold Soul, $9. And Independent Road, $11. This Deacon bot, he brought decent overseas form. He got a very suitable race last start in a benchmark 78. But although he is plummeting down in weight, it is a fair step up in grade.
Yeah, I mean, the split sort of suggests that he's completely up to this grade, and you know, you get a few resumers here, and it's not the deepest race of all time. I was sort of interested that Banker's Choice, who won really well last time at Moonee Valley, he's gone up such a big price. I don't like, he gets Mark Zara on. I don't see why they wouldn't push forward on him again, but at the same time, I just feel. Like I've got Deacon 260. If I get 290, I'll back him on the day. Like I'm not in any rush to back him. And I feel like you can chop on Banker's Choice at big odds, because I feel like, you know, like he won really well at Moonee Valley last time. Because they went forward on him. They went really slowly there. But you know, he won a Ballarat Cup one day. Like, he's a good horse. They just ride him awfully every time. If they go forward on him again, Mark Zara is a good jockey. He's like one of the best jockeys in Australia. If they roll forward on Banker's Choice again, then you know, he's a way better than prices. What's the best price now? Like $16, $15. Yeah, that seems big to me. And Fame as well. He's had a long time off the scene. 400 days leading into this preparation. It was just something doing our second up at Moonee Valley, ran some nice splits there. And the other horse as well, Bel Toro, he was really, really good. Made a mid-race move, which is interesting. Made a mid-race move in one of the fastest races you'll ever see at Ballarat. They were ridiculously fast there. And then at Moonee Valley, he ran some nice splits there. So I think he's better than a $19 chance. So, and again, he's another one that the market won't like. The market will love Deacon. They'll smash him. Like, he's going to sit on pace. There's not a whole lot of pace in this race. He's going to sit forward of midfield. He's sit in the first sort of six in run. And, you know, you go to your tipsters on whatever. Lots of people are going to love Deacon. He's the progressive import who's run nice sectionals last start at Pakenham. And he's a likely improver. And you know, that, sure. But, you know, he's 260 now. Jesus. You know, if he gets out on the day, I'll back him. If he doesn't, then I'll let him go around and I'll back Fame, Banker's Choice, and Beltora. But I'm not really fussed on this race, so we'll see what
Beautiful.
Happens.
Yeah, if Deacon gets to $3 or $3 plus, I'll probably have to back him. Goes forward from 11, and yeah, that last start was just he just absolutely panelled them. He drops 7 kilos off that effort, obviously rising in class, but. Yeah, he doesn't have to improve too much off that to be figuring in the finish again. The only query I had is potentially whether he could be already looking for 2,400 metres.
Yeah, he sprinted well enough to not.
He did, like, he did. But, yeah, that's my only little query. Bot didn't mention it himself, but he actually got Banker's Choice out of the chair as well in the time that we haven't been on the podcast and tipped him to everyone in our group chat. At 40 to 1. So there's another one, another feather in your cap. Race 9, 1400 meter benchmark 84. Let's speed through these last two. Bot Vedad is 480, yeah. Brazen Lady 550, Red Phantom 650, and Umgawa $7.50. Don't tell me you're backing Vedad. Don't do
There's a whole lot of non-winners in this race. There's so many non-winners in this race. And if Vedad gets a $6, I'm going to back him. Lethal Thoughts is another one I want to be on. Safi Osborne, I'm sure Safi Osborne is a lovely, lovely lady, but she cannot get them out of the barriers. She has a thing where she sort of leans back out of the barriers, and the horses sort of like go watch. Nothing against her at all. She's outside of her getting them out of the barriers. She's a great jockey. I love the initiative she shows, especially in staying races. She gets them going early instead of the rate sometimes where jockeys hold them up and then ask the stayers for a sprint and defeats the purpose of them being stayers. I love how she does that, but she can't get like the 1,000 meters to sort of 1,800 meter horse. She can't get them out of the gates. They always miss the start. And she did that on Lethal Thoughts last time. It missed the start really, really badly. Was tailed off and run home in some really, really nice sections behind Molly Knickers and some other nice horses. And Tommy Stockdale is another really nice rider. Sort of like that middle pinner, a rider that rides a lot of winners. He's not a Damien Lane, and maybe eventually he can get to that because he does like ride a lot of winners, and I think Lethal Thoughts can take that next step. Lethal Thoughts seems to race really well early into his preparation, so he can sort of sit midfield here and run a split over them, I think. So Lethal Thoughts is the one I want to be on, and also Vedad, who gets a really nice run here, I think. And if the pace is on, I just think Vedad is looking for an end to end test. They're sort of like trying to be cute with him. They just need to run into the ground. Like that's what Vedad wants. Anyway, that's Vedad and Lethal Thoughts.
Yeah. If Nico was on the podcast, his lay of the day would be Vedad. And his best bet of the day.
Certainty.
His best bet of the day would have been Samangu in race 4.
Yeah, 100%.
Nothing sure in that.
I'd be against both of them, and it's just how it works. Like yin and yang.
If they've got a one next to their name, their best bet. If they got a couple twos next to their name, they're a cat.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah.
They're absolute cat. And maybe the cat Vedad, maybe that's what he needs, a fast run race so you can't think about it, Bob.
They're racing. They're
I know that's not something you believe in. I'm just stirring the pot. Race 10 is at 1800 meter benchmark 70. Dream All Day. He's been backed all day. $3.30 from Ravelair, $10. Et to Brute is $10. And Western Front is $10. But Western Front is a dual acceptor as his emergencies here. He's a dual acceptor at Murray Bridge, I think. So that's one to keep an eye out for.
Right. Well, I've backed this earlier. Let me just see. Yeah, you can probably still back Dream All Day now, I think. You probably can. Yeah, Dream All Day, I really like it. It was a great ride by Blake Shin last time, and I sort of don't think it wins if he doesn't ride it the way it was. And he, like, incredibly suited. One of the greatest rides you'll ever see, Blake Shin, last time. But that doesn't mean it's not going to, like, you know, it's suited last time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad bet here. Like, I just think this horse is great bet here. Like, I think she's there's some of these horses here that are just really, really poorly. What's it called? The second favorite, Ravelair. Ryan Hurdle rides Robert Hickmott. It won a race where the pace won on through the 1,000 to the 4, and the race fell to bits. I don't think Ravelair is any good. It's drawn 16. It's going to get all the way back. I don't want to be on Ravelair at all. I've got Ravelair 25-1. I'm sorry, 24-1, and it's 6:50. I think it'll be out the gate. I think the market will absolutely crunch Dream All Day. It has to an extent already. I've got it about 290. They're betting 460 or 480 or whatever it was yesterday. I think they'll continue to back it. Also, Tyson and Adrian's horse, Shiny New Deal. I think this horse is a big track horse. It's looking out for 2,000, so 1,800 metres is good enough. I think it can sort of I want to have something on Shiny Dew. And the other horse I want to be on is Brooklyn Boss as well. So, so Brooklyn Boss, Shiny Dew, and Dream All Day are the three for me in this race. But mainly Dream All Day I think is a great bet.
Beautiful. Anything else to say about Flemington, or happy to move on and we can summarise it?
No, we've talked about just about every race. Yeah, we've talked about every race just about.
All right, let's go to the Gold Coast next. Magic Millions meeting is on Friday night. It's going to be interesting to see if this means the actual meeting will be on a Friday night going forward. I would say it could be. The wagering impact will be impacted. I mean, the Saturday racing simply does get more turnover figures on it. So that's going to be interesting. I think the track is currently a soft five, soft six. There is some rain tomorrow, but I don't think it's a heap. So that is positive signs. We'll go to the two-year-old race first. It looks an absolute raffle, but this is the two-year-old classic. It's worth 3 mil, 1,200 metres, two-year-old. Memo is 5
mil. 3 mil? Favorite.
Yeah, I think they got a price increase recently. Yeah, they're both worth 3 mil. Yeah, well, they're selling horses for enough and getting enough commissions off the buyers. So there you go. Memo's $5.50. Labella Boom $6.50. Invincible Woman $6.50. Gallo Nero $7. Space Raider $7. And Icarian Dream $8. We know they're going to go like the absolute clappers here because it's a two-year-old race worth a lot of money. Mm. I don't think there's any superstars here. I don't think these horses will be having much of an impact in a blue diamond, especially not a golden slipper. It's very early to be making that call, but I think there is better. I'm just going to quickly state the three horses that I've got results for. Invincible Woman managed to get 50-1 for her. That was basically straight after she won on debut. That was on the Caulfield Heath track. Look, the figure there was pretty good, and she did a bit of work to get to the front, went fast, was still too good. But as Bot sort of mentioned, like these Caulfield Heath figure tracks, you just want to be a little bit wary of them. Nonetheless, I still think she's one of the horses to beat. Icarian Dream, I probably would have marked favorite if she hadn't have drawn such a woeful barrier. But with all this speed on, if she's three wide with cover, then potentially things work out for her. We've backed her at $15, or maybe it's $17. I think it's $17. But she was one of the ones we identified really early. She was, you know, a Kieran Maher filly who by Blue Point, who'd been jumping out like an absolute machine. She was scratched on debut, and the horse that won that race was Belle Mercy, who won it really nicely and is one of the favorites for the Golden Slipper now. So that is worth noting. Icarian Dream was favorite, and she ended up, you know, she's won twice now since. So I don't think she is as good as Belle Mercy, but it's probably too early to call. But yeah, I'm on Icarian Dream as well. And the other one I'm on is High Barbie, who put in a big win, first up on a heavy track on debut, and then last start was absolutely crunched in betting. Started $2.60 favorite in front of Icarian Dream and pulled up with Cardiac Arrhythmia. So although it was a bad performance, she was beaten way too far for it to be true, and you can absolutely forgive it. So gets a big jockey switch as well, going Angela Jones. I know Angela Jones is quite a good jockey up there in Queensland, but gets Tim Clark now. So that's massive. And looks over the odds at the current price for Tony Golan. So before last start, you would have had High Barbie a better horse than Labella Boom. And, you know, she's one's won and the other one's had an excusable run. So they've sort of flipped in what their odds would have been previously. So those are the three horses I'm on. Any thoughts, Bob?
Yeah, I had a look. I thought Quietly Arrogant had a really nice rating there, and last 400 meters was big 400 meters. Like they're gonna run this ridiculously fast around the Gold Coast. You know, 2-year-olds racing 3 million. You know, and they're all not that good. Let's be honest. Like these horses won't be slipper relevant. Some of them will be in it, but like they're not going to be at the top of the market. I wouldn't have thought anyway. I thought Quietly Arrogant was quite good. Beating Talk, to be sure, who's a nice horse, is a Seamus Award. I had a look at him. He's quite a nice horse, but he smashed him running really, really nice splits. And also High Barbie, who pulled it with Cardiac Arrhythmia last up, but like started favorite over Ocarian Dream, who's in the market, and you know likely gets a soft enough map from Barrier 11. So those are the two that sort of stood out to me. There's that Space Raider, who's a nice horse, but probably won't get a run, which is stupid. Why is it not getting a run? You know,
Bolt prize money thing, probably.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
I heard Adam Blinko and Nathan X will be talking about on the Racing and Sports podcast, and like, you know, it's wins a main lead up at Eagle Farm in like three lengths, and it's the top of the market. Why is it not getting a start? And like that race should be ballot exempt.
Yeah, no, it's all fair shot. Are you sure? Are we sure it's not getting a start? How many run?
It's first emergency.
There's been two scratchings though.
Oh, has there? So it is getting a run.
Yeah. Well, 18.
Oh no. 18 and 20, they're both emergencies, so it's still waiting on a run.
It's still waiting on.
Yeah.
What's 19 then? This is so weird how they've done this.
That
was 18 and 20 scratch, but 19 still in.
Sorry, there's 16. No, there has been.
Right, 16 run, right. That makes more sense. All right, let's move on to the three-year-old race, I guess, which is the three-year-old Guineas, 1,400 metres. Tuileries is $5.50 favourite. Bohemia is $7. Snitsanova, $7.50. Street Chase, $9.50. And Bitter Creek, $11. This is an interesting race because this is set weights and penalties conditions. So the weights are a little bit all over the shop. I think I'm going to back Snitsanova. This horse is just continually on an upward spiral for Kiramar. She actually sat, you know, sort of wide the trip last start on a very heavy track and still got over the top of Bitter Creek, who I thought had probably the better run of the two. And I think she can still improve. She's drawn beautifully in Barrier 8 for Daniel Stackhouse. And a lot of her main dangers have drawn cast here. Like Tuileries are drawn in 20. It's probably the best horse of its last two figures.
Oh, Bohemia, that's a nice horse, that one.
It is. It's just the map could be...
Yeah, awful.
It could be disastrous. Bohemia draws 18. Bitter Creek, been up a long time, asked to go up to the Gold Coast now. I just think Snitsanova off the little freshen is the one to bet. And I think around $8, $8.50 we might get. That's fine.
Yeah, I had a look at this race last week. My computer's not working right now. But Bazasto looks big to me.
Yep.
What do you reckon?
Where's it drawn?
Like 10?
It's drawn in 9. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's you know, his run, you know, the Red Anchor, the Amanda Elliott. He carried 60, I think. In the Amanda Elliott was inefficiently paced, and that run at Eagle Farm was given way too much to do so to $3.88 bet fare in the Group 3 last time, 20 days between runs. You know, that seems like a the best horse in the race is very obviously Tuileries, but she looks crazy talented. Like she looks, you know, she's very good, and she'll be in lots of very nice races moving forward. But if they put her 15 lengths last, well, good luck.
Yeah, you might have convinced me with Bazasto. He's also got like expected ratings in terms of his SP profile are actually really strong as well. And like, you know, starting $3 favorite in the Red Anchor, a race that Bitter Creek won, but things probably didn't work out for him that day.
Yeah, he was really good first up at the Mackenzie. Oh, I backed him there too. I've backed Bazasto a couple of times.
Yeah.
Hasn't paid, but I backed him.
Yeah.
he's Amelia's Jules' little brother.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Mm. Yeah.
Race six is the Magic Millions Fillies and Mares. It's always a hotly contested race for the girls. 1,300 metres. Miss Rumbini is 340 from Bubba's Bay at $6. Infatuation, 650. Rev Miss is 850. I'm going to back the two horses that we know best, and they are
Rev Miss,
Miss Rumbini, and Revolutionary Miss.
I love Revolutionary Miss.
She's been a very good horse for a very long time.
I love her.
And I think we just have to forgive the most recent run. I'm not 100% sure what happened, but, you know, Blake Shin, barrier two, up to 1,300 metres. She's probably going to get a soft five track, which is perfect for her. She's going to get the absolute dream run. She's the map horse, and we're getting $8.50. I think $9 is the top price out there. I think you just have to forgive the last start and be on. She does have the top weight of 58.5 kilos, but she deserves all of it. And Miss Rumbini, she just looks like...
Miss Rumbini looks so well-placed.
Yeah, she's an easy bet. She's $3.50 top price. She ran down Ferrari in, you know, posted a good figure last start at Ballarat. That was after producing big splits behind Neons at Caulfield in the wrong part of the track on the inside, and now she gets up and trip. If this was 1,400 metres, then I would have loved that, but nonetheless, she draws beautifully in barrier nine, and she looks the best bet of the day in terms of tomorrow night and on the Gold Coast. So she's probably the best, 41, and I'm also backing Rev Miss.
41 days is a little iffy, but, you know, trust the stable. They're a smart enough stable to get them right. But she does look like on last start ratings anyway, like she looks she does stand out a little bit.
Yeah. Too easy. Where else do we have? I've got one bet in
Hedged is racing. Hedged,
yeah, what do you think? What do you think of snippets? Hedged? Obviously Samana is fave.
Yeah. That race is a difficult race because you've got Samana first up. And she's one of those mares that go through that patch where she's just really, really good. She just seems like one of those mares that just, you know, that good preparation and then just iffy. I got this race is just full of horses that I've got no guide on. And to be honest with you, Hedge is another horse that I don't really have any guide on. But I think third up, if he runs the rating he did at Ipswich or the one he did in the Arrowfield, then he will probably win this race. But he's a difficult horse to get a line on, and I just sort of hope for Tyson Adrian's sake that he does peak third up and does win, because that'd be awesome if he did. But you look through I'm sure you're the same, Ben. Like you look at these horses like Zarastro, Samana, Prince of Boom, Natuno. Like I have a fair idea of these horses. Shalaled even. Like I just got no guide on them. I don't like. There's no sort of pattern to their form. They just sort of take, not necessarily take their turns, but it's hard to know when to back them. Is the best way of putting it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, I completely agree. And some of them. It's interesting because some of them are probably 1,400 meter horses and some of them have form at like 1,100 meters and below. So that's always a factor with these Magic Millions races. They're at a set distance, but the trainers are obviously going to target these races because they're worth so much. So
yeah,
lots of different factors, and it's probably a bit too hard for me to have an official bet in that race.
Yeah.
All right. Rose Hill Gardens is going to be a very wet track, I think. I'm not sure if you've seen the forecast spot, but
no.
Luckily, Melbourne seems to be escaping it, but they're going to get absolutely flooded on tomorrow. It eases up a bit on Saturday, but there is still some rain, and it's a heavy eight already currently. So it's going to be a sloppy Rose Hill. Race one is a two-year-old open handicap, 1,100 metres, and we see Woderton debut. This is probably like... I know they're only trials, but it is a bit of a boom horse. But I mean, how good have Waller and Coolmore and James McDonald been over the last 3 years with, you know, slipper horses or Coolmore horses with Shinzo, Home Affairs, and Switzerland? I know, like 2-year-old and 3-year-old, I'm including here, but I know everyone says sort of like broom horse and gets the shits, but I think they're going just fine. And I think off the trials, this is one of the better 2-year-olds we've seen so far. Obviously, we have to wait and see what he does, you know, under race conditions. But this would probably be my early slipper selection, just as it stands. I loved both of his trials. He cruised up to west of Swindon in his first one. And then the last one, he was sort of choked a little bit on the inside and ran second again. But just watch him through the line. Once J-Mac sort of lets him go, he runs straight through it. And he's got a very good page. Wootton Bassett seems to be producing some very good horses in Australia recently.
Who's the mum, do you know?
Fiera Vista.
Why does it cost so much?
What has it got? Has it got... look up Fiera Vista. It's got heaps on its side as well. It's Exceed and Excel. Just look up BreedNet, Woderton.
Yeah, I'm looking. Racing.
I'm not sure if it'll actually run because it's $1.85 favorite Waller on a heavy track, which could be a heavy 9 come Saturday. I think there's a fair chance that he does scratch the horse if it is a really wet track, and we might have to wait another day to see it. But
don't want to blemish the record.
Yeah, exactly right. Have you got it up?
Yeah. The mum is... Mum's not related to anything special. But, Empress Rock, who started twice in a group one. The mum's out of... Yeah, whatever, who cares? People don't care about this. That west of Swindon is out of a half to Faulkner. And yeah, Faulkner's right. One of my favourite horses of all time.
And west of Swindon was very good on debut as well, ran second.
Oh, sexunals. S-E-X-unals.
Yep, just another Hawks job.
Faulkner was one of my favourite horses of all time.
The January Cup. Yeah, he was a good horse as well. The big grey. 2,000 metre listed event, this one. Ossipenko is $2.60 favourite. I'm saying shouldn't be. Soul Coats is $3.60. Converge $7. Highlight $7.50. Red Breast $7.50. And Hopeful $16. Best two bet player of the day for me is Salt Coats and Hopeful. Both are dropping between 4.5 and 5 kilos off their last start efforts. I know they're coming up in grade, but Hopeful has 3 peak figures all on heavy tracks in Australia. Look, he might be a little bit outpaced by some of these at 2,000, might be looking for that 2,400 meters, but nonetheless, all of his form comes on wet tracks. His good track stats in Australia anyway, I think he's had 10 starts on good tracks in Australia and hasn't got anywhere near the money. And his 3 starts on wet tracks, he's ran second to Circle of Fire. Who are the other ones he's ran second to? Elias and Sir Lucan. So all of its form is on wet tracks. Salt Coats is a listed winner on a heavy 10 in New Zealand, won the Futurity Stakes as a 2-year-old before he came over. You get a direct line of form through Tabby Time, who he beat easily. And there's just so many holes you can poke in some of these horses. I mean, although Ossipenko is the class horse, he's still got to carry 59 kilos on a really wet track. I don't think he wants that. Converge, I don't think he wants a really heavy track. Highlights is trying 2,000 meters for the first time at start number 40, which is just weird. Redbreast, don't know. I think he's more of a miler myself, but you never really doubt Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott stepping up and trip. And Fajita Sand, he just seems to be in the chair at the moment. So there are so many holes you can pick in this field, and I'm happy to back both 5 and 4. If So Dazzling gets out to 50-1 on the day, I might have something small on it as well, because she has one big performance on a heavy track as well and did run second to Salt Coast only a few starts ago. But I want a bit better than 30-1. The only other two horses of interest at Rosehill, the King's Horse Bot. What do you think of it? It's
The one that's a half to the it's half to Circle of Fire. That looks a good horse, that one. Nice horse.
It's going to be a proper test for him on Saturday because he's got 61.5 kilos on a really wet track up against some horses who are up and running and down in the weight. So It's only a benchmark 78. Nah, barrier 5, he'll be...
Yeah, yeah, it's all over. Hold on, let me have a look. What, potentially. What race is it?
Is it? Like, he's a shade of odds on, so we're not telling you anything the market isn't, but race 5.
Race number 5.
He's got a lot of weight, so like the ratings are might not tell you that he's just going to pick him up and spit him out because he's given
yeah,
him
right, okay.
6-7 kilos, some of them.
But if I've had a look at him, sectionals have been sectionals. Yeah, fuck. Like that, yeah, last 800 meters. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, good horse.
Good horse indeed. As is Cigar Flick, who hasn't had all the luck in the world, but she goes around race 8, number 5, 1300 meter
going
benchmark
again.
38. I'm going again.
Going again, then. Oh, you're sick.
She's had no luck both times at Eagle Farm, last two starts. Bailey Wheeler got it a bit wrong, but she was beaten by another good horse in Danny St. Darcy. And then last start at Eagle Farm, absolutely no luck. Bubba's Bay won that race. It's second favorite for the Magic Millions Fillies and Mares race behind Miss Rumbini. And Cigar Flick, two of its best peak performances have come on heavy tracks, which she finds again here. She gets James McDonald in the saddle, and I think she can win this race. This neck is flying. It's got to carry the 61. And I don't think he is anywhere near as well suited to the heavy track as Cigar Flick. So I'm probably going to be backing Cigar Flick and I might save on Midnight Opal. That's probably the way I'll be playing race 8, Rose Hill.
Fairs.
All right. Anything else, Bot?
Pakenham, race number 2. I'm going to back Morissette. Yeah, tomorrow night, Morissette. I think it should be favorite over Mercante and Tommy.
Whoa, don't say that too fast.
That's how you say it. Mercante. Morissette, I think it should be favorite. I think it'll probably like sit outside lead or something. I don't know. Reese Goodwin's got it. I reckon he's improved it. They're trying to go forward with it. The bloke that had it before, they always went back with it. It got to an Oaks. It's like a staying filly. Should be favorite. I think it should be favorite. And also, I'm really, really, really keen on... Oh, they've backed it. I'll still tip it. Winner's a winner. Don't go broke backing winners.
What is it?
Mint Man, race number 6 at Mornington. That race, I told you to back it earlier to like 455 boom bet earlier.
I don't back every single thing you tip me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, come on, mate. Why not? That's coming through that Mornington race. That like I've backed everything out of it. Not everything, but Regal Might and Enright we backed yesterday. Regal Might went too slow and it should have won. But that race at Mornington run massive splits there. I think the only thing that beats it is a map, and map's not even real. Map's for conspiracy theorists. So, it'll win. Midman, race number 6 at Mornington on Sunday.
Beautiful. Trentham, race 9. I'm not sure if this is actually...
Go to Trentham.
It might not be an actual tip for me, but it's a group 3 over 3,200 metres, and Kieran Meyer...
Shit.
Has
interpretation.
Sent to New Zealand. Interpretation. Top price currently is $3.90 with Colossal Bet. He's got to carry the 59 kilos, but he was very good running second to Grand Piero last start.
Unbelievable.
He's another horse who is Safi Osborne off and a senior rider and Luke Curry on. Like that.
Oh, Luke Curry, yes, on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was.
What, good or bad?
That was good. That was good. Jody Thompson thing.
Yeah, right. Well, Luke Curry's going over to New Zealand to ride this horse, and I'm not sure if I'm actually going to be backing it just yet, but it's definitely a race you want to set your alarm for. 3:11 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, Trentham Race 9. Let's watch Interpretation because he is a good horse who, you know, he's been looking for ground.
Great horse.
Gets the 3,200 metres here. He's run in a couple of Melbourne Cups, I want to say?
Yeah, 3 of them.
At least, yeah. So, yeah.
Towered out in the first one, ran fourth in the second one, and I don't know where he finished this year or last
sixth.
Year. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been a good horse for a while now. And on Sunday, of course, we cannot forget, I'm still calling him the world's best sprinter, Kai Ying Rising, race 6, the Centenary Cup, Group 1, 1,200 metres. He draws barrier 8 of 8, but I don't really mind that. It just gives him time to come across. The other speed in the race is Magic Control, which is Alpha Oro, which is very interesting. He's trying 1,200 metres Group 1, and Victor the winner, who has been in the chair for a little while now, he's the other speed horse. So there is a chance that Kai Ying Rising could be a little wide early, but he's just so fast out of the gates, and I think he'll work his way to the front. Whether he finds the fence and the lead or whether he just sits outside the lead remains to be seen, but I think he'll be taking care of him again. He did the job last start, and I know Helios Express looked a little bit unlucky, but I just see Kai Ying Rising elevating off last start. I don't think he was at his absolute best. And I think you can just take the double with Voyage Bubble in race 8. He's going to get the perfect run again with James McDonald on board from barrier 4. Galaxy Patch is the only horse who can beat him, drawn barrier 3 here. But, yeah, I just think he's too good. And he's going to be fourth up. He only has to hold his last start rating. He's had two trials. Both of them have been awesome. One of them was behind Kai Ying Rising on the dirt, and he looks sensational. He is Hong Kong's best miler. Ever since Golden 60s retired, he ran second to 60 in the Hong Kong mile last year. He won it this season. He's the new number one, and he's the horse that Mr. Brightside has to beat once he gets to Hong Kong.
Yeah. Can I just, one more. I'll outdo you out wide. Camperdown, if they put up any better than $3, Rhinoceros will back it.
Do you know what race it's in?
The Camperdown Cup. Race number 8.
The Camperdown Cup. Is that Saturday, Sunday? When is that?
Saturday.
Sweet.
That's it, I reckon. We're done.
And questions at the start may be a more common feature because it seemed to work with
Bob. Gets me going a bit early, yeah. Because by now I'm like, I want to go to bed. So
yeah,
I reckon questions at the start's a good idea.
All right. Well, it might be a new feature. So Bot's called the shots. He's backed 1,000 winners and he's 125% profit on turnover in the last month. So
bit that's more than that, right?
Yeah, probably be more than that. I'm selling you short. If you want Bot stuff, you can message him. Gives it all out for free. If you want my stuff, I charge because I'm still Italian. You can search it up, the 6-day racing on the App Store, and hopefully we can find some winners as well. All right, thanks, guys. We'll be back here next week. Cheers. Like Google Call stock, you are inclined to make me rise an hour early, just like daylight savings time.